Thanks for the meditations, guys. Jaden, you will now have to get your own straw, but the quota of bricks will not be diminished. You know where to turn. Romans 13. We've been dealing with verses 11 and 12 for a little bit here, simply because there's just some really great things found here. So remember, he's transitioning from the concept of God creating government, the purpose of government, our responses to one another, what we owe, what our debt is. I think it's funny that right after he gets done talking about government, he talks about what we owe. Because that's what governments typically do, is they cause you to owe stuff, right? God told Samuel that when they asked for a king. You know, you guys are going to be owing, and he's just going to take. That's how those things operate. And then he's about to go into the concept of liberty. Chapters 14 and 15 are really going to be dealing a lot with how Christians approach liberty. And again, what liberty is, things where there's not really a thus saith the Lord, but they're matters of conscience. And believe it or not, there's a lot of things in Christianity that are matters of conscience. In other words, no two people are going to do them exactly alike. You can affirm something and somebody else might think, nope, I can't do that. And it would be sinful for them to do it, but for you, it's okay to do it. Now, the problem comes, and we'll be getting into this, the problem comes when people think something's a matter of liberty when it's not a matter of liberty. And then the problem comes where people think things are thus saith the Lord's that are actually not thus saith the Lord. So we really need to engage in some wisdom through the scriptures to determine what falls into those categories, right? It's very important. But here's verses 11 through 14 is the transition point to that. So let's go ahead and check this out. It says, do this knowing the time, that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in case you're wondering what the deeds of darkness were, he tells you starting in verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. So that's what he's saying. So we'll get into starting in verse 13, not next week, but the week after. So just to review a little bit, one of the things that he's stating is he says, knowing the time, that is already the time for you to awaken from sleep. The time that he's referencing there is, you know, knowing how the world is, right? And as we take a look around, I mean, the Romans, you know, he was telling them how the world was. They could see it with their own eyes, but some really bad things were coming their way in about 6 years. In about 6 years, there was going to be a persecution against this church specifically, and a lot of the people that are listed in chapter 16 were going to be tortured and executed. And so Paul is helping them to understand through the book of Romans who they are, what they need to be, and the transformation that they need to make to get ready for what's coming. Now, these people, a lot of them, you know, they're being told this, but they're not experiencing this at this particular point. It reminds me a lot of America. You know, we don't know what's coming, hopefully nothing, but we see things changing, we see things happening rapidly, that we need to understand that it is past time for us to wake up and stop engaging in the things that we were engaging in before and get our spiritual house in order. It is way past time for that. The church needs to have their spiritual house in order. If nothing else, so that we're prepared, but also we have our spiritual house in order so that we can be effective with the people who are outside, and we can bring, help more people get ready. We can't sit there and tell people that they need to have their spiritual house in order when we act like them. That's not gonna work, is it? It's like, I can't remember who it was. Oh, who? It was somebody I was talking to. I think it was Jeremiah that was saying this, that if he was looking for a personal trainer, you wouldn't look for somebody who was out of shape. You know, it's like, okay, do what I tell you to do, son, and you'll have a body like me. Well, if he's 400 pounds and needs a walker to get around, you probably don't want that. Right? It's like a Christian saying, hey, let me talk to you about the righteousness and holiness and the judgment to come, like Paul was talking to Felix about. And yet Paul was acting just like the Romans. That wouldn't work now, would it? See, God's called us to be separate. And that's what Paul's saying. Wake up. Wake up. We need to be awake from sleep. Time's passed. We now need to be awake. And so then he mentions the hour for you to awaken from sleep has come. He says, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. And that's where we ended last week. That the salvation of God that has been laid out for Christians, that final salvation, it's closer. It's much closer. I mean, if the time was near and God said it was near, and again, he's got a different time frame than we do. For him, it's near. For us, it's been about 2,000 years since he said that. But if it was near then in God's time frame, it's closer now too, isn't it? But here's the bigger thing. Yeah, Jesus can come back at any time. That's absolutely true. You know when the last sand's going to fall out of your hourglass and your life is over? Do you know how much sand you have in there left? I mean, I know for me, I just turned 52 this last week. My sand is I got a whole lot less grains in there than I used to. I might be coming right to the end. Some of you young people who are younger than me might have less sand than I do. You don't know. Anybody else think of soap operas when I talk about that analogy? Sand through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. So some of you remember. Man, my parents actually let me watch that trash when I was a kid. Can you believe that? Yeah, is this still on? Oh, okay. I didn't even know if it was still on. That tells you how long it's been since I watched TV. I had no idea. Verse 12. Let's get to some new stuff. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So, there's two things I really want us to get out of this verse today. First one is that we have to hope. There is hope for us. And as we see, you know, sometimes preachers can paint the world in a really bad way in the sense that it's getting darker and darker, especially in America. You know what? We've lived in a little bit of a bubble. It's been dark all over the world for a very long time. We've just been insulated from it because we live in a country that had a Christian background. And so we were shielded a lot from those things. But the rest of the world has always been extremely dark. It's just penetrating more into our country now. And so when we think about how dark things are getting, and we think, oh man, is there even any? Of course there's hope. If we think about how dark the world has been for the last thousands upon thousands of years, it's still going. It's still moving. And it's going to continue to move until Jesus decides to come back. We could stay in our current situation for another 100, 200 years. We don't know. That's why we keep working. That's why we keep building. That's why we keep saving. We keep marrying and being given in marriage and having families and continuing to push forward because we don't know what the future holds. We just keep moving. And think about what these folks were about to go through in 6 years. And then Paul says, the night is almost gone, the day is near. Now let's transport ourselves to Rome right about this time, 58 AD. 64 AD is coming, the burning of Rome, where Nero is going to blame the Christians. He's going to crucify them. He's going to dip them in oil and put them on lampstands and burn them. He's going to sew them into animal skins and feed them to the dogs. And Paul, God, says to you, the night is almost gone. The day is near. Does the physical situation match that? Not from a very specific perspective, does it? Not if you're one of the ones in about 6 years that that's going to happen to. If you were able to see into the future, would you say the night is almost gone, or would you say the night is coming? The day the sun is going down, the darkness is rising, and now the darkness is going to have full dominion over you. No. That's not what God's saying. God's saying the night's almost gone. And that the day was coming. Isn't that encouraging? That no matter how dark it gets, no matter what happens, for the Christian, we always see light. You know, when, how many of you have ever been in, absolute pitch black darkness to where you can't even see your hand going in front of your face? Any of you? Okay. How many of you was that in like a cave or a cavern, right? Right? So on our honeymoon, we went to Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area, Tennessee. And so we went into some caverns and some caves. And, you know, we're walking back and, you know, we're way back there. And then finally we get into this big, huge hall. It's this massive room and it's all lit up and you've got the stalactites, the stalagmites. I forget which ones go down and which ones go up, but they're both there. So let's just say whichever. And, you know, we're way back. And the guy says, we're about a mile underground right now because we're under a mountain. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then he says, I need everyone to stay absolutely still. Do not move. Do not walk. Now, this is before the age of cell phones to where you could like put your cell phone on. And they said, we're going to turn the lights out. Don't move. Don't walk. Because there was a drop off. And I think it went to like maybe to Sheol, because apparently it was like really, really deep. You know, there was flames coming. I mean, it was really, I'm just kidding. So then they flipped the light out. And I mean, y'all who have been in caverns know what that's like. That is the darkest dark, darky dark dark that you have ever seen. Well, can't see it. I mean, it's just, you can't see anything. I mean, you couldn't, if you were to touch, you wouldn't know how far away your finger is. It's so dark. There are some people who look at the world right now and think that's the kind of dark that's coming. But if you were in that cavern and you, did anybody get nervous? My thought was, what if the lights don't come back on and nobody has a flashlight? How are you going to get out? Imagine being in a situation like that and there's no light for you to grab hold of. Would you be scared? Knowing that you don't know which direction you're going. And if you go about 25 to 50 feet in one direction, you are going to fall into an abyss and die. Would that create a little bit of stress? But it would be really nice if all you had was even just a little bit of light and you'd be able to navigate the dangerous situation. For folks in the world, when they go through their struggles and their trials, there's no light. No matter, please hear, no matter how dark the world might get, if you are in Christ, that darkness is almost gone. The day is near. The light is already shining. And unlike everybody else, you know exactly the path to forge forward. Isn't God good? As Christians, we are saved. We realize salvation in stages. Let's think about that. We realize salvation in stages. I've narrowed it down to three stages. On earth, in death, and at the resurrection. Right now, we're in the first stage. Okay? You and I right now are in the first stage because we are on this side of the dirt. So we are in the one where we're on earth, we're walking by faith, and this is the only stage of salvation that requires faith. When we get to the next stage, we are not going to need faith anymore. Faith is a temporary thing that we have that is replaced by sight. And so right now, have we moved out of darkness into light? Yes, we have. Is it a physical light that you can see? Absolutely not. But it's the spiritual light that comes through the Word of God to the individual Christian. It dawns inside of them through the realization by faith that we have of the Scripture, and it lights and guides our path in the spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and it then manifests itself in the physical realm through our actions and through the actions of others. So that's the first stage. And then, of course, at death, that's when faith becomes sight. That's when we depart and our body gets, you know, planted, spread into ashes, however it works. But we then go to be with the Lord and we see Him face to face. And that's why I mean we're not going to need faith anymore. Because we're going to see Him and we're going to know that every promise He's ever made, we don't even have to believe in the resurrection from the dead because we're going to see Him right there and we're going to know exactly that that's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
I thought you had to wait a long time.
That's a good question. Regina just asked, I thought we had to wait a long time. So let's head over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick and let's just look at that. We can answer that one real fast. That's a really good question. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore, being always of good courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. So when we're absent from the body, we're at home with the Lord. We get to behold Him. We get to see Him. Now, that's where the resurrection comes in. So that's the last stage. What we get when we die is not the final deal. Because what happens after that is when Jesus comes back, we get resurrected. Our body, soul, and spirit are joined back together and we're glorified. And then the final place that He has prepared for us is revealed. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place and the final reward is given. And it's greater than the one that we get when we die. That's why in Revelation chapter 6, at the breaking of the fifth seal, the martyrs who are under the altar ask, how long, O Lord, before you avenge us and execute judgment on the earth? In other words, how long before the resurrection takes place? He tells them, you just got to be patient a little bit longer until everybody else that's going to be martyred as well comes. But there's this anticipation that there's something else left to come. Right? So these stages are important. These stages are important and they let us know that God is faithful every step of the way. So for the Christian, even though we live in a world of darkness, we've been told about the darkness. We know how the darkness acts. Looking at what's coming in the future that's prophesied, we know that the darkness gets worse. But we also know that we have light. Let's head over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 4. He says in verse 4, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who do their sleeping at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God is not destined us to wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." See, we're of the light, we're of the day. And notice what he says. He says, we are not of the night nor of the darkness, so let us not sleep as others do, but be alert and sober. And then a little bit before that, verse 4, he says, "But you, brethren, are not of the darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief." See, we know how to navigate in this present world because we're not of darkness, we're of light. And we see the path that God has tread for us to navigate this safely to eternity. It's not that we have this big question mark over our heads. What should I do? Where should I go? Now, and the small stuff, yeah, absolutely. But in the big stuff, there's no question mark. It's absolutely set. We stay faithful. We always choose Christ. We reject the things of darkness that the scriptures clearly indicate for us to reject, and we put on the armor of light. Now, let's head back to Romans 13. Now, and we don't have to go there, but let's go to Ephesians 5. I know I said Romans 13, but let's do Ephesians 5 real quick. Let's go back to verse 3. Let's go back to verse 1. Why not? "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore," he's talking to us now, but pay attention, "do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Notice what he says there. You were darkness, now you are light. Who else is described as light in the scripture? God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. He's telling us that as Christians now we're light, and in us there is no darkness. At least there shouldn't be. This is the process by which that gets removed. Now, it gets removed through our conversion into Christ. We are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, kingdom of his beloved Son. But at the same time, there needs to be the removal of the deeds of darkness and putting on the character of light, right? So, he says, "You were formerly darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now look at this. "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Notice the process. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You don't become a Christian and then automatically know everything you need to know about how to please God. Just like when you first get married, you don't know everything you need to know about your spouse to make sure that you guys have harmonious, you know, relationship. That's a learning process. You get to know each other. Get to know all of each other's little idiosyncrasies, the way that we communicate, the way that we talk to each other, the way, you know, the, you know, moods. I can tell if Jessica has something going on just by the way she texts me with one or two words. Because, you know, she says, you know, if I ask her something, she says, fine, jerk. So I know that there's something not right. I'm just kidding. She never uses the word jerk. I'm just kidding. Oh, it's going to be a long ride to Harrisonburg. Yeah, she's going to text me. That's right, Brian. Trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. See, look at verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. We're not supposed to participate. What are we supposed to do? Expose. Not engage. Look at verse 12. For it is even disgraceful, even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. You know, we've talked about this passage, so I don't want to belabor it, but the point really is, there is an absolute utter change that takes place when we move from darkness to light. And that darkness is not just about position and the fact that we just now happen to be in a place of light. It's going to impact the way that we live and act and think. It's going to impact everything about our life. Let's go back to Romans 13. Now we can go back. So he says, the night is almost gone, the day is near, and now there's a therefore, which means because the night is almost gone and the day is near, there is something that we need to do. He says, therefore, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. We've already talked about the laying aside the deeds of darkness. That's obvious. That's not something that we can engage in as Christians. But what is he saying then on the positive side? He says, put on the weapons of light. The word for put on means to clothe yourself. Now, you might hear me say weapons, but it reads armor in the New American Standard. Anybody have weapons of light in verse 12? Okay. It's a shame because that's what the word means. Sometimes you think armor, you think defensive. But in the ancient times, they considered armor as part of the weapon. Okay. But it's also inclusive of the weapons. How do you defeat weapons of light if you're darkness? You can't. It's not possible. Think about the physics of this. Darkness doesn't vanquish light. Light vanquishes darkness. Unless you're in a black hole, we're not talking about a black hole. You know, I know light can't escape black holes, but if you're a physics nerd, just we can check that at the door just for a second for the sake of the illustration. If you're in that cavern, no one's gonna be inside of a black hole and live. Unless you're Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar for some reason. If you're in that cavern, and you just light a match, I don't care how far away you are, you're going to see it. And it's going to be able to guide you to where you need to go. Light always vanquishes darkness in the real world. It's never the other way around. He tells us to put on the weapons of light. The weapons of light. Now, flip over to Ephesians 6 just for a second, because this is also really cool. verse 13, where it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so you'll be able to resist in the evil day. Right? And we think, okay, we teach our kids this, right? I mean, our kids actually used to have the full armor of God plastic set made in China. Right? And they'd put it on, and they were so cute. And, you know, trying to teach them how to put on the full armor of God. That word there for armor also means weapon. Put on the full weaponry of God. In other words, everything that God gives you at your disposal for the sake of combating darkness in your life, you have at your disposal. You have to take it up and you have to learn how to use it. That requires discipline and that requires practice. So what the Apostle Paul is telling them here in Romans 13 is God has given you every single thing that you possibly need for the task. It's our choice of whether or not we're going to use it. And at the very end, we're not going to go over this now, but we'll go over it when I get back from family camp. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision in the flesh in regard to its lust. Do you recognize that that's one of the first foundational primary things that you can do to utilize the weapons of light? Is make no provision for the lust of the flesh. You know, if you don't put yourself, I mean, it's one thing if you find yourself in a bad situation, you have to defend yourself. What if you actually purposely put yourself in a bad situation and expecting to be able to, you know, fight your way out of it? And you've never practiced a day in your life. It's not smart. What Paul's telling us here is the first step. Just don't put yourself in the position. And we'll get into what it means to take no provision. There's actually a proactive thing that people do in regard to the lust of the flesh that's just really bad. And he's telling us, don't even go there. So, brethren, my encouragement to us today is let's pay attention to what Paul's saying. Let's pay attention to what Paul's saying. He's got something really great he's trying to share with us here. We have weapons of light at our disposal. Lay aside the deeds of darkness and recognize the hope that we have in Christ right now. Then no matter how dark it gets for the Christian, there's always light. There's always ways out. And for us, we're actually looking forward to the next step of the realization of our salvation. Getting out of this mess. And seeing our Lord face to face. But while we're here, we still got work to do. We still got a purpose to fulfill. So let's get the job done. Let's pray.